All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new episode of Jeopardy. I am your new host, Mike Richards, and we're just going to go ahead and get started. Go ahead and select a category there.
Okay, I'm going to select things that will get you fired for 500.
Okay, here's the question, answer. making this mistake will get you fired from any place of employment.
Bzz.
William.
What is showing up late?
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Bzz.
You already answered incorrectly, I think.
Oh, I can't go again?
No, that's not how this works.
Never watched this show before.
Bzz.
Yes?
What is saying something that might be construed as offensive on an old podcast and having it resurface just after you get a new job?
That's correct. You won all of the money today.
Oh my goodness, this is so exciting. I gotta thank my mom. I gotta thank my dad. They really trained me. They really had me reading all these mean tweets before I got here on Jeopardy. I just want to thank everybody for this opportunity. I never thought a young black female like me would be winning this show. So thank you so much, Mike.
Okay, ma'am, that's enough.
Okay.
Tune in next time. This new version of Jeopardy sucks.
The hosts are pretty interesting. Yeah, it's fun.
And scene. That is not how I thought that was going to go. I thought we were going to allow Will to answer multiple times.
I thought so, too. Do you not
answer? What were your other answers, Will? No, you can't answer.
What is dog eating your homework?
Once you get it wrong, you don't get to go again.
No, on the real show, you don't. But I was thinking on our version that you would. But anyways, let's get into the story here. The reason we did a Jeopardy opening is because the supposed to be new host of Jeopardy, Mike Richards, has now stepped down from the position. Here's the article out of theringer.com. A smile with sharp teeth. Mike Richards' rise to Jeopardy host sparks questions about his past. So here's the man, the myth, the legend, Mike Richards. He was an executive producer, and still is actually an executive producer, on Jeopardy. He's been with the show for a very, very long time, and he was tested out as a guest host after the sad death of Alex Trebek. So they tried out Mike Richards, they tried out LeVar Burton, they tried out a few hosts, and the crowd favorite happened to be Mike Richards, the executive producer. So he was going to start as the host of Jeopardy, but guess what? As cancel culture comes and rears its ugly head, apparently Mike Richards made some what could be construed as offensive comments on a podcast back in the day. He made some statements that would have been stereotypical towards certain demographics. He also did a short comment about unemployment and how many people jump on unemployment and have no intention of getting off of it. Apparently, this was enough to spark a fire within the audience of Jeopardy, and they wanted to call him out on these comments, and now he's stepped down.
You can never say anything bad in your entire life.
Right.
If you say anything bad ever, then you should lose everything, okay? This is for you guys watching. Don't say anything bad or offensive or a joke ever in your life, because if you do, it's over for you, all right? Everyone is supposed to be perfect. You are supposed to come out of the womb looking like Karl Marx and giving good little leftist phrases and saying exactly the right things all the time, okay? Don't ever say anything bad.
Also, 5 years from now, we're going to change what the definition of bad is. So anything you say today that's good or okay can be bad 2 years from now, 5 years from now. So basically just never say anything or pretend like you've never said anything different than whatever's popular to say now, and you'll be okay.
Don't you even think about apologizing, okay? It's too late for that. You say anything bad or you change your ways, I don't care.
Right. You haven't changed from who you were 5 or 10 years ago.
Right.
Nothing ever changes. If you were a bigot then, or if you were offensive then, you're offensive now.
I'm still the same idiot I was in high school, I'm sure.
I'm still the same leftist I was 4 years ago. That's why I do this show.
Undercover. Undercover boss.
It's really sad. And for all of you true Jeopardy fans out there, me and my grandparents, shout out to Grandma and Grandpa because I know you guys are watching. We watch Jeopardy every single day, and this guy was great. He was a super good guest host. And now that sort of talent and merit doesn't matter because he said something that could have been offensive maybe 5 years ago. Also, I looked through the comments. They're not offensive.
I've never watched Jeopardy personally.
We know.
Yeah. Yeah. Never watched Jeopardy myself, okay? And so I don't know a whole lot about the show and the situation of all the hosts and different stuff about how that works. But what I do know is that cancel culture is a beast that takes no prisoners, and that this guy, this new host, could agree with 99.99% of all the things that the left says, but if you make one offensive joke or you disagree to 0.01% of a degree with the left, then they will come and destroy you. They take no prisoners.
Yeah, it's really sad. And the worst thing that you can do in this case is to come out and apologize for your earlier statements. Don't do that. Don't apologize for something you said when somebody calls you out for it. What, like 5-10 years later? It makes no sense. And especially when the things you said were not even offensive. We are in such a rot culture of just trying to grab anything you can from somebody's past and completely wipe away any chance that they have at employment or success. And the worst thing that you can do in that case scenario is go, absolutely, you are totally right for doing this to me, and I will make that concession to you, and I apologize for anything that I ever said that was offensive.
Well, it's like, I don't have to battle someone's ideas if I can just dig up stupid things they said in the past and say, oh, this person's a horrible person. I don't actually have to debate any of their ideas. You know, this is why we see conservatives and people getting canceled, because people will just try and dig up things about them, things that probably aren't even true, and then come and try and destroy them. And it's like, well, you didn't have to battle that person's ideas. You just tried to cancel them in the global in the marketplace of ideas. And that is the wrong way to go about it. It's a cancer.
And it's sad because he put out this whole statement, and I'll show part of the statement here. He is going to continue to work with Jeopardy, by the way, as the executive producer. He just doesn't get the amazing opportunity to host the show. But of course, here he has apologized, and he's talked about the relationship that he had with female coworkers in the past, because that was something that was brought to question as well. He talks about how he worked with some amazing, beautiful women, and that he worked them through their pregnancies, worked with them through that, celebrated that both on stage and off stage behind the scenes, and still says it's an honor to work with all of you and produce an amazing show. I look forward to the days ahead as we get back into production. It's just a sad state of affairs when something like this can completely overthrow what others are trying to do.
A sad state when buffering happens in our stream and we're trying to fix it the best we can, it overthrows what we're trying to do.
We are always trying to fix the buffering.
Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg, for... Or this is YouTube.
Both.
Yeah, both. They're both doing it?
I think so.
That's very strange. It's hard to keep going when we know the things are buffering, but we're going to keep going anyway. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do now. You could be a saint now. You could be a perfect human individual coming in and Mother Teresa-ing the world, okay? And doing amazing things. But if you did anything before, did anything that maybe you're not so proud of, or you made a joke that was offhand or a bad comment, then you get canceled. And that's a sad state of affairs, that that's the way that people want to work. But just like Nietzsche talks about the herd, okay? Nietzsche talks about the herd, and the herd of people come out and they want to cancel and destroy people because they are envious of people. This isn't necessarily the same thing. I don't know how envious people are of this guy. But the herd, when you get a group of people together who are mediocre, what do they want to do? They want to cancel the people who are successful, the people who are the heroes in society. They want to do this because they feel terrible about themselves and their own sort of ideology. They have nothing really going on in their own lives. So they band together as a herd of people to cancel individuals who have become individually successful and great.
Right. Imagine the kind of person that you have to be to watch a man like this. And I'm assuming they targeted him specifically because he's a white male. But to see a man like this get success, go from executive producer to host of the show, and then think, well, let me go back and look through everything that he's ever done. And let me go through and look at all the podcasts he's ever done and see if I can find any statements that alienate this man. Somebody had to go through hours and hours of footage and talking to find this stuff and to call him out on it. It's just ridiculous.
It is. But I think there is a way... A silver lining, at least. I think there are a lot of people who are against cancel culture. Even people on the left who we'll talk to seem there are some who are against this cancel culture and say that they want to change it. But when it comes to mainstream media and mainstream politics and Hollywood and music stuff, it seems like the Twitter mob just keeps getting stronger and stronger.
It's very true. Now, Will and I got the amazing opportunity for the second time to host the Dennis Prager radio show this morning from 9 to noon. So we've been talking all day long.
Listen, if there's one thing that I'm good at, it's talking.
We share that. We share that, Will.
You're good at other things. You can sing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I can't sing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's very true. Unless you want the first verse of Wonderwall.
I can do the first verse of Wonderwall better than anyone.
That's very, very true. Now, on the radio show today, we took some calls, and we're going to play one in particular of a guy who really didn't agree with what we had to say. So let's listen to it.
JJ from Columbus, Ohio. Another person who apparently disagrees.
Hi.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. You guys are both too young to even know what you're talking about as far as oppression. I'm 64 years old.
Yep.
This country is not... Did you say something?
No, no, keep going.
Okay, this country is not racist. I will give you that. But the thing is, a lot of the people in it are. So you can't give the country the bad rap. It's the people in it. And it's never going to change as long as people like yourselves keep whistling past it. You throw up a couple of black men, you say David Clark for one, and I assume that gentleman that you played the clip saying he wasn't oppressed is black, I guess. I didn't see.
Yes, he
but
was.
Anyway, you can't throw up one person and say, see, he's not oppressed, so there is no oppression. That's just like me saying, oh, this white man is prejudiced, so that means all of you are. So it is the same thing. You cannot sit here and tell me there is no oppression in this country. I've lived long enough to see it. Not everywhere, no. But it is there. It exists. And just like there are all cops are good people.
Perfect.
I have a lot of law enforcement in my family. But there are bad cops.
Thank you for your call. Yes, I hear exactly what you're saying, JJ. I know exactly what you're saying. Yes, there is not a systemically oppressive network here in this country. There's no systemic racism here in America. Does that say that all racism is gone, that no racist exists? Absolutely not. There are certainly people who go out into the world each day and judge people solely based off their color. But conservatives are not advocating for those people. What conservatives are advocating for is that we judge people based on the content of their character, based on their morals, based on their values, based on their education level, and most importantly, based on merit. Now, what the left is doing is not only attributing racism to America as a society and as a country, but saying that in order to solve this issue of racism here, we need to focus on race. We need to view everybody through the lens of race, and we need to label others as oppressed and oppressors. Now, that is clearly not the solution. Obviously, the conservative mindset of judging people based on merit, intellect, values is certainly more of a solution to the racism that still withstands in America, although on a very small level compared to the narrative that the left is pushing.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can have either, like, we talked about that we can't give these examples of our conservative black people, our token black people, as some people might say,
right,
and say, oh, there's no racism because of these people. Well, it's like, you can't just say that America's this racist place and call us that we're too young to understand and say, oh, this is definitely the truth, okay? Amla has grown up as a black woman in America.
My entire life.
In conservative white areas.
Right.
And not experience that racism that people want to talk about. Listen, I get this racism out there. No one is trying to say that there aren't any racist people out there, okay?
Of course
you go
not.
To the boonies of some southern state where no one really lives is probably some hicks who might be racist, okay? That's not obviously the majority, but I'm sure there's some racist people out there, all right? But to say that it is a problem in America that needs to be tackled and that the CDC has to come out, the CDC, okay, who's supposed to be handling the stuff about COVID, comes out and says that racism is a national pandemic. I mean, what the hell is going on in this country?
Right.
That is what we're professing.
Does racism exist? Certainly. So long as race exists, racism will exist. Does racism exist on a systemic level? Absolutely not. And that is what we practice and preach at PragerU. That's what we try to teach people. We do so with our 5-minute videos. And if you need evidence to dispel the myth of systemic racism, head over to PragerU.com. There we go. Got to put in the smooth plug for PragerU at the end.
Mm-hmm. I don't get why when I was talking, it only showed your face. That was quite annoying.
I can't say what the producers like and what they don't, but...
Well, they obviously don't like my mustache. They're biased, all right? We want to talk about racism in this country. Let's talk about people being racist to my mustache, all right? I see it everywhere I go.
But,
I would like some money.
Reparations?
Yeah, reparations.
What if they give you money to shave the mustache off?
No.
Then you're not for it?
No.
Unless it comes from buying his book.
Yeah. Which,
there we go.
Oh, wow. Wow, oh, Taylor. No. I didn't ask Taylor to do this, but look.
You're welcome.
I got my first copy of my book. I actually got 50 of these copies. These are my gratis copies that I get for friends and family and stuff. So no one in this room is getting one. But I wanted to show all you guys about this, which is How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. You guys can go to Amazon, search Will Witt, search How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. Pre-order my book. Tomorrow, we are 1 month out from release date, where you will be able to get an audiobook. You'll be able to get a physical copy of the book. Kindle version in 1 month from tomorrow. So go in, get your pre-orders in so that as soon as the book comes out, you're going to have your copy and you can start learning how to take on the left with their own arguments, how to ask the right questions, how to change people's minds. You can go to Amazon or any really major bookseller. The link to buy the books is in all my social media. You can go to my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's all on there where you can pre-order my book right now and learn how to win friends and influence enemies, guys. Okay? Thank you. Appreciate it. And this is super cool that I actually, this is my real book. This is a real book. Look at this. See? It's a real thing now, okay? It's actually real.
It is real, but it hurts.
The truth hurts, Amala. The truth hurts.
Oh, well, great. Will has been making book plugs all day long. We talked about it a lot on the radio show. Another thing we talked about a lot on the radio show is what true oppression means. Did you see how smooth that segue was?
Mm-hmm.
What true oppression
after getting
means.
Hit in the head.
Yeah. You just knocked some sense into me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, but we talked a lot about what true oppression means because the left speaks a lot about the narrative of oppression in America and how oppressed I am as a black woman living here among all these white males and I feel so horrible about it. But true oppression is really happening around the world. And a prime example of that is in Afghanistan. I want to show this video that's been circulating of a baby being basically pushed over a wall of with barbed wire at the top over to soldiers. Let's take a look. Disturbing.
It is disturbing.
I can't imagine. And you can only assume that that baby is somebody in this crowd's child, and they're handing them off to soldiers because they know that that child is going to be safer because of that.
Well, what's crazy is that you have U.S. troops right now that are at the airport in Afghanistan, where you have French and U.K. troops who are actually getting their own citizens out. What are the Americans' priorities right now? We have 10,000 to 40,000 American citizens still left in Afghanistan, and we are spending our time at the airport and having Afghani fighting-age males being shipped into America in planes on U.S. dollars, and we still have our own citizens in Afghanistan. What are we doing?
Right. This is exactly what happens when you depart from a nation without listening to any of the intelligence reports that come out prior to this decision. And
intelligence reports were telling people how many trans people are in Afghanistan. Okay? And not actually focusing on what actually was happening in that country.
Yeah, but it's just sad to hear the amount of people who have come out and say, you know, we warned against this. We knew that this was going to happen. We knew that this was going to be bad. And we knew that the insurgency was going to be quick and swift. And it just was not listened. Nobody heeded. Here's another picture out of Afghanistan of a soldier holding an infant here during the evacuation at the international airport. I just can't imagine what it's like to be anybody in Afghanistan right now, let alone be an American citizen who is under attack with the Taliban. But you have to think, you know, Will and I'm 21, Will is 24. People who are our age in Afghanistan have never known anything different than an Afghanistan that had U.S. soldiers present. Now they are going to be experiencing a country overthrown by the Taliban, a completely tyrannical, evil regime. And they will never know freedom again if something is not done about this. It is very, very sad to see the photos, the videos, and the news coming out of this country.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, but people all over the world don't know what tyranny is actually like,
right?
Because they have such an easy life, especially here in America, you know. We have never had to face any sort of hardship. If your order is wrong at Chipotle, mm-hmm. that is the end of the world to some people.
Right.
Right? Versus, oh, wow, people around the world, their entire government was overthrown by terrorists. It's like the things aren't even comparable about what's going on.
But you called me Zer instead of they.
Right, so. Right. We're oppressed by inconvenience here in America. Yeah. Well, here's another video of the Taliban in Afghanistan. This is what people are dealing with in this country. There it is, armed with U.S. weapons nonetheless. Amazing.
They look like stormtroopers from Star Wars. Well, they're playing the Imperial March.
If they were stormtroopers, that would mean they wouldn't hit anything.
Yeah, well, that's
because
true.
Because their aim would be so bad. But well, Amala doesn't get that reference.
In all likelihood, their aim is bad, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
And what are these tyrannical terrorists armed with? Well, here's out of Fox News. U.S. weapons seized by the Taliban. $85 million U.S. funding to U.S. funding to Afghanistan. 600,000 weapons, 75,000 vehicles, 200 aircraft. So not only did we leave and we leave the Afghani people and our American citizens in distress, but we left them with an air force and enough arms to weaponize their entire government. Beautiful. Wild. What a job well done.
Job well done.
There's
good
no
job,
way
people.
That this was the plan, you know? Like, there's no way that they intended for this to happen.
Just like, this is something I was talking to Alan Estrin yesterday about, the executive producer and of PragerU, or executive director of PragerU, sorry. We were talking on the phone before going on the Dennis Show and planning our segments that we did this morning, and we were both just like, what is going well in America right now?
Mm-hmm.
What
that's a good question.
You know, like, think of something that in
Will
the last,
and Amlo Live is going well.
Well, you know, we got to have small
only
miracles,
as a
okay?
counter to the horrible things
exactly,
that are happening.
You know,
yeah.
That's one of the reasons why it's going well. But like, think about the stuff going on, the COVID pandemic, people's health, the stuff in Afghanistan. I mean, what is happening right now in America that you can say, wow, this is
inflation,
this is getting better.
Unemployment.
Inflation,
right,
unemployment.
Our job market is horrible.
Like, all of this, what is getting better? Is there anything? I can't think of anything that's getting better. Oh, wait. Oh, now people can put their pronouns in their Instagram bio. So I guess, yeah,
right.
Things are getting a lot
diversity
better.
Diversity
right?
and inclusion is getting a lot better.
Exactly.
Yeah, very
it's
important.
Like the things that literally mean nothing
yep.
are getting marginally better.
Crime's up, by the way.
Crime's
defunding
up.
Defunding the police.
Yeah, more police are dying. I mean, all sorts of horrible things. And it's like those things are all getting worse. Everything that actually matters in America is getting worse.
Right.
But these leftist lies are actually getting better, quote unquote, for people who are listening to this and not watching, quote unquote.
If you guys
better.
Have things that are getting better in America, please drop them in the comments.
Yeah,
we need some hope, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say is that having seen a lot of these school board meetings, parents waking up, speaking up, that has at least been an encouraging sign because that is the type of engagement we need from average Americans who still have common sense and
right.
who still live in the real world and who still aren't falling for the narrative that's being pushed by the mainstream media and the elites that are doing something about it and pushing back. And Will's speech at the rally last week and going to another rally this weekend, like a lot of common sense people are out there. You're not alone. And that is the one encouraging thing I'd say I've seen is like people are getting off their butts and starting to engage and starting to push back. And we need more of that.
Yep. And let's shout out some of these people. We've got a couple of super chats here. One from Vivian Jones. She says, I'm in junior high. I watch your live streams every day with my mom. Will, I love your mustache. Amla, I love your hair. And Taylor, I love your fake plants.
Well,
everyone has fake plants.
Two
on
of the
show,
three were good.
Yeah. That's the best you could come up with. Is like,
no, Taylor's nice. You know,
it's so. And Vivian, I'm so
he's
glad.
Nice guy.
I'm so glad that you're in junior high watching this show. That is like a testament to your brain power and your values. And that's amazing to hear from somebody so young who is already getting up to date with these values and everything. It's kind of sad that people have to be in tune with politics at this age, but it's amazing that you're doing that.
And you're a good mom.
Yes.
For showing.
Shout out
your,
to mom, yeah, Mama Jones.
Mama Jones. MJ.
Next
you.
One is from Kate Mesner. She says, I love watching your show. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for supporting. Thank you guys for listening. It's super important.
Mm-hmm. It's super chat important.
Another one from Michael Riley. Metal Mike is back. He said, Metal Mike. Again. Metal Mike again. Happy Friday to y'all and your fans. I live near San Francisco. My 80s radio station announced with such glee that you cannot attend any indoor venue, restaurant, or public facility without a vaccine ID. Dang.
People are ready to jump at their freedoms being taken away. They are happy for it. They say, yes, I am so glad. You think the people in Australia, when they first saw this stuff happening, I mean, Australia is absolutely insane right now, which we're about to get into.
Yes.
But do you think that when they were first hearing about these restrictions that were going to be placed on them, they said, no, no, why, mate? Can't believe it. They really said, oh, mate, this is the best. This is great.
Right.
You know, they were like all about it. So people are always willing to give up their freedoms in the beginning for a small moment of temporary pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But then when push comes to shove and they're like, oh, wow, maybe we shouldn't have done that. It only gets worse and they'll regret it. They'll
yeah.
regret it.
People will give up their freedoms if you give them the right condition. And here's an example of that coming out of Australia. Let's read the first paragraph in this article. It's just insane to even have to read. A 29-year-old man has been sentenced to maximum of 8 months in prison over his involvement in organizing an unauthorized protest.
I don't like it.
Gosh.
I don't like it.
So you organize that protest? Going to send you to jail? No blooming onion? No,
and we don't want to hear what you have to say about our legislation and about the fact that we're trying to mandate your freedoms.
Didn't even like do a protest.
No.
Organize one. That's like, remember last year
we thought about it.
Yeah, there was that story of that pregnant mom who organized a protest on Facebook and got arrested in her home. She's like, I've got an ultrasound in an hour. And she's like yelling at the cops, like, are you serious right now? And they took her, ripped a pregnant lady out of her home for organizing a Facebook group about a protest where, by the way, they were like going to wear masks and social distance and just demonstrate that, hey, this is kind of tyrannical. It's like, you can't say it's tyrannical. We're going to come into your house and arrest you.
Yeah, right.
We're not tyrannical. We're so not tyrannical. We're going to arrest you so that you can't say that it's tyrannical.
I'm going to say I didn't expect this from Australia of all places. I guess Australia is like the sleep. I was sleeping on Australia because I did not think they were having this sort of problem in their country. I knew that leftism was sort of getting into Australia and it was that sort of ideology was creeping in and sort of indoctrinating people. I did not expect this one to be the horse in the race that pulled ahead.
I thought Australians were like badasses who went and punched kangaroos in the face. And now I'm like, they are the complete opposite. I thought Australians were really tough.
Michael Riley sent his super chat. He said, Australia to America. Oi, you call that a lockdown? I'll show you a lockdown.
Oi, mate, you call that a lockdown? I'll show you a lockdown, mate.
But poor guy, man. I can't imagine. Now he's, okay, so not only did he give up almost a year and a half, almost 2 years to lockdowns, now he's going to give up another 8 months of his life to prison because he tried to organize a protest against lockdowns.
Like, is it time to leave Australia if you can? Like, good Lord.
Yeah, you can't leave. You can't leave unless you have a vaccine. Unless you're vaccinated.
See, that's crazy.
Yeah, oh so you can't leave.
Stuck on an island. It's like a prison.
It is.
It's literally prison.
It is prison.
And we're kind of laughing. I get that we're making some jokes, but this is incredibly serious and this is incredibly sad about what's happening in Australia. Okay? Right. This is something that people... you'll talk to someone a year ago, okay? A year ago, talking to people about all this stuff, and they'll say, this will never happen. These things are never going to happen. These tyrannical governments, you know, that's something that happened in the 1940s. That's something that happened in the 1960s in Vietnam. These things don't really take place now. You know, we're in the 21st century. I have Uber Eats and Twitter. Like, there's no such thing as tyrannical governments anymore. People think that because we are an era of such excess and such technology that tyranny no longer will happen to us. We're too civilized and modern for these things to happen. It's a great lie. It's a lie that the elites in this country have pushed on us to say, oh, we're way too civilized to have any sort of tyranny, you know, so don't worry about it because it's not going to happen. We're way too modern and civilized. And then it's like, look at Australia. This could be us. This could be us in America. You guys understand that, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and no one will stand up and actually do something about it.
People also don't realize that nations rise and nations fall. And if you don't do something about it, and if you don't stand up for the way our government was meant to be set, the way our country was meant to be run, you will lose the country. You don't just lose a little bit of your freedom. You lose everything. You lose America. You lose the United States.
I keep thinking of what Dennis Prager says, that freedom is a value, not an instinct. And if you don't value freedom, if you take it for granted, then it'll be gone before you know it. And I think that's what you're seeing in a lot of the Western world. People just take the freedom for granted. The fact that your government isn't arresting you for saying something on Facebook, they take that for granted. And like, oh, that'll never happen. And that's, you know, Australia doesn't have, they're not armed. They don't have 2A and all that stuff. So it all goes hand in hand. But, you know, if you don't have your individual rights enshrined, not just by law, but also in your culture, and you have a value for those things, like value for liberty, it's gone before you know it.
I know. I was reading a tweet from Sydney Watson. If you guys know who that is, she has family that's still in Australia. She's a conservative YouTuber, and there are people in Australia ratting. It's like in socialist China or communist China, where people are literally ratting each other out for breaking the protocols. People in their own families feel like they can't talk about these things in Australia, and people are getting ratted out for breaking the protocols and the guidelines. It's insane. It's insane. It is a totalitarian state.
It is. It is. And it's like, you know, we're heading in that direction. And then people say, well, if you conflate America with China, or if you conflate Australia with China, that's hyperbolic. How dare you? How dare you call this a Nazi Germany type of legislation? That is what it is. We're calling it like we see it. That's it.
there are signs of totalitarianism and government overreach that can be adjacent to many different cultures and many different regimes through time.
Exactly.
You don't have to say that this is Nazi Germany that we're living in. Obviously, I don't think anyone is saying that right now. But telltale signs of communist, fascist dictatorships that happened early on in those countries and in those regimes reflect totalitarianism that we see today. There are certain things that governments and bureaucracies and mega corporations will do that are reflective of what other ones have done in the past. There is no, but they try and say, oh, you can't make these because they're hyperbolic, as a means to say that you can't expose their agenda. You can't expose their plan, because this is what they're really trying to do.
It's an apt comparison. What, are we supposed to wait till it actually becomes Nazi Germany before we make the comparison? Are we supposed to wait until every single legislative piece matches up with what was happening back then to make that comparison? Absolutely not. You see the steps now. You see the signs now. There are signs that have been repeated throughout different regimes throughout history. We see it happening. We call it out.
Cutting your hand, cutting up vegetables, and then afterwards learning how to cook, you know? It's like you should have learned how to cook. Maybe this is a stupid analogy. You guys get what I mean? It's like learning to do something after it already happened. It's like learning how to drive after you just got in a car crash. It's like you should have learned how to drive before you got in the car anyway.
Right.
So we should be preparing for the worst, preparing for what could actually happen and talking about it, telling the telltale signs of what we're seeing to prepare for what might happen in the future, not once it's already happened.
That's exactly what's wrong with the age in which we're living, is that what you're talking about is wisdom. And most people don't learn, don't take wisdom's word for it, or don't have a value for things that they haven't suffered the loss of. And so, you know, like they take the fact that they can drive, the freedom to drive, for granted, and they don't appreciate the fact that you actually need to learn how to do it well, you know, ahead of time in your analogy. And I think if you don't have a value for freedom, you're not going to, or if you don't have wisdom around the topic of freedom and understand that if you don't cherish it and defend it, it'll be taken away from you and you'll be ruled under tyranny, you're going to lose it.
Wisdom is much more important than intelligence in many respects. Having the ability to look to the future and kind of see how things are going and give advice and be practical with your solutions versus just saying, I can tell you all about this book.
Right.
You know, there's obviously points to intelligence that are very important. Of course, you should be intelligent and try and do that. But wisdom comes from truly learning about the world and having a holistic approach to history and everything else.
Gonna cut in with some super chats. Albert Armstead said, it is because Australia voted in crazy left-leaning government. By the way, I love Sydney.
I know, but it's tough because not everyone in Australia is someone who voted in these people. Like, imagine some 18-year-old kid or some 14-year-old kid. They had no part in this, and now they have to live through it. You know, so we can blame the Australians somewhat and say, look, they did this, they did a gun buyback. But there are people living there who were not responsible whatsoever for what happened and the takeover, right? Mm-hmm. But now you can put the blame on whoever you want. Doesn't really matter who you put the blame on. They're there now. So no matter who you put the blame on or say it's this person's fault, our fault, whatever, you have to take control now. You have to take responsibility now and say, all right, we are at this point. Doesn't matter who did it. Let's just take it back and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's like you see in France and stuff, they're like rioting in the streets because over like the vax passports and stuff. And I'm not seeing very much out of Australia. It's like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't heard
much.
I saw
one thing like 2 weeks ago. It was like a big rally.
Good.
And then, but I haven't seen anything now, and it seems like things are only getting worse. I mean, that kid getting pepper sprayed in the face.
Oh my God.
For not wearing a mask in Australia.
Yeah.
Dude.
A little kid,
This video that I saw yesterday, everyone's been sending it to me of this girl being forced.
I saw that, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You can't really talk about that too much on this show, but.
Yeah, we won't talk about it.
It's wild.
But it's bad.
It's time to stand up. It's time to do something.
Yeah.
We're going to get through this next story pretty quickly because we have some stuff to do for Fun Friday. But this is just a little fun jab that we need to place right now.
There are no fun jabs. Okay?
Not anymore. Sorry,
guys.
There's no more fun jabs.
Poor choice of words.
Poor choice of words. Not politically correct. This is out of Fox News. Socialist commentator Hassan Piker faces backlash for buying a $2.7 million home in Hollywood. If you guys are unfamiliar with Hassan Piker, he does streaming on Twitch, where he talks about his leftist ideology. He's also affiliated with the Young Turks. His uncle is actually one of the co-founders of Young Turks. And he's now bought a nearly $3 million home in the name of socialism, I guess.
Oh, eat the rich, you know?
Right.
Eat yourself.
Right. I wonder if he's going to redistribute that home when we finally transition over to our socialist government.
Probably not. I was looking through his Twitter and seeing some of the replies that he was getting and things, and people are talking about him participating in a if the system is already capitalist, he might as well just participate in it.
That's what they all say.
That's what they all say. They're like, I'm already living in this
system. No, it's the idea there, like, once you've overthrown the system, okay, now I'll give up all my wealth and redistribute it to everyone? Like,
I'm not dedicated enough to my ideology to actually practice it in my day-to-day life. I have to wait till everybody else is transformed and accepts it until I practice it.
I know. To say eat the rich as, like, your mantra, and then to go and buy a $3 million home is like, you're doing the exact opposite. You call these people who have money, who have built a name for themselves, you call them evil, and then you got money
through capitalism.
Through capitalism, by having people donate to your stream, advertisements, all of that, and having a successful show and being someone that people actually want to listen to, and then blaming it on capitalists that you were able to afford this nice house. Like, what?
Amazing. It reminds me of a Juan Patrice Kohlers.
Where is a socialist country where YouTubers can buy $3 million homes?
Right.
There aren't any Venezuelan YouTubers in $3 million homes, okay?
Exactly.
Right, but there are socialist elites in every socialist, Marxist, communist regime in history who hoard all the wealth for themselves and then destroy the incentive for people to make wealth of their own through socialism, but they live in lavish luxury while everyone else, and like, you're literally no different from them. You're repeating their mistakes when these are the same people who say, well, the socialism that has I envisioned, it hasn't yet been tried. And but you're literally doing the same thing that all the dictators did by living in lavish luxury while the people that you're pretending that you want to help are not, and you're playing by different rules than them.
I have no problem with Hassan Piker having a $3 million house. That's totally fine. Yeah. You earned it.
Yep.
Like, you have people who want to watch your show. That's awesome. Right. You know, do your thing. Give your free speech and say whatever you want about your leftist Marxist ideology. I don't really care. It's all more about the irony of it. It's an ironic situation.
Okay, enough gobbledygook. We're going to get into Fun Friday after.
Oh, sorry, too intellectual for Amla today.
There was some heavy stuff between Afghanistan.
We've gotten to some heavy stuff today.
Australia, yeah.
I feel like we got to lighten
the
mood.
So much for Fun Friday. I'm like, hold on, just hold on a little bit. We'll get there.
Fun Friday, more like Failure Friday.
A couple of super chats before we get right into it. Peter Miles says, I'm 15 and I was wondering if you can join PragerForce if you are not an influencer and just want to meet people who believe the same as you. Absolutely, you can. So go ahead and go to PragerForce.com, sign up. You don't have to be an influencer or somebody who's interested in making content. It is simply a digital community of conservatives who want to get to know each other, possibly network. If you are interested in being an influencer or making content for PragerU, that is just a bonus.
Mm-hmm. We can turn you into an influencer. Extreme makeover influencer edition.
Who knows,
Extreme
you might end up on our
Prager
show.
Force edition.
Yeah, you never know. Both Will and I were in PragerForce, and look at us now.
I know, look at us now.
Next one's from Ashley Roberts. She says, RI has just said that they will no longer accept religious exemptions for healthcare workers. Please pray for me and my family. Hashtag stop the mandate. Man. You want to plug your rally really quick while I queue up this video?
Yeah, this Saturday, which is tomorrow, 1615 Ocean Avenue in Santa Monica. Okay, once again, that is 1615 Ocean Avenue in Santa Monica. The park that it's being held at is called Tongva Park. That's Tongva Park. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced, but I'm spelling it
Sounds
out for
right.
you guys so you know. There is a rally, anti-mandate rally, a pro-freedom rally. I'm going to be speaking at it, and Amla Ekpanobi is going to be giving the national anthem in her amazing, terrific voice. If you haven't heard her voice that is singing, then you have to come, all right? I'm using you as a bartering chip, okay?
Thank you.
You have to come this weekend to hear it. It starts at noon, all right? And Amla is going to be starting at noon.
I love how you said bartering chip instead of token.
I don't want to use token, right? That would be the wrong thing to say.
So
you're saying there's a place on Ocean Avenue where Will and Amla will talk to you? And they're both 16.
And it felt so right. Sleeping all day, staying up all.
Oh, my God.
Night.
Gosh. If I could. Another super chat from Trunan Nash Bada Pressure Bada Africa. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Happy Friday. Miss y'all on the weekend.
I think that's the turnaround guy.
Yeah, it is.
I miss you guys on the weekend. Sometimes at 2:30 p.m. PST, 5:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
I'll just log on and start talking. And I don't. Right. I realize no one's there, and I'm just talking to myself.
Very sad. It's very sad.
Because on the weekdays, we stream every single day on PragerU YouTube and Facebook at 2:30 p.m. Pacific, 5:30 p.m. Eastern. So then on the weekends, when I'm not streaming at 2:30 PST, 5:30 Eastern on PragerU YouTube and Facebook, sometimes I will just be talking to myself regardless.
Yeah,
talking
Will and Rocky. I, or sometimes talking Will and I will just like call each other instead of streaming at 2:30 PST on YouTube and Facebook, and we'll just go through random stories that we heard that day.
Yeah, 2:30 p.m. PST, 5:30 p.m. Eastern on the PragerU YouTube and Facebook. Amal and I on the weekends will be talking to each other, doing skits.
Well, on the weekends, I, anytime day or night, pull up our podcast feed on Spotify, Apple, and Google Play and play our episodes over and over again at any time on demand whenever you want.
I love that. Do you also leave 5-star reviews on Google Play and Apple Podcasts?
I leave 5-star reviews every day. I make a new account just to make another 5-star.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's where they all came from.
I love that. Now let's get into a video that went viral today of a dog. A doggo saving another doggo from a pool.
Don't say
it was hard to see the way that he fell.
I can't, I'm a girl.
We were out on an appointment.
When we got home, we knew something was up when we noticed that Chucky's head was wet because that wasn't normal for him.
If Amla was a dog, this would be Amla.
And would you be the dog that saves me, or you?
Well, let's not. Okay.
Thank you.
And then I went to go check the security camera footage, and we had the shock of our lives. As I was watching it, and I'm freaking out, I just suddenly see Jesse come. And I see she just, like, keeps following Chucky. She actually hates water. She does not like water at all. Like, Chucky is splashing and the water falls on her and she like goes back, but she still didn't stop. She still kept on following him.
When we saw Jesse not leaving Chucky alone and just going around and around the pool with him, just looking out for him, it was such a proud moment to see. Chucky is 13 years old, so to see him like doggy paddle for so long, that was really heart-wrenching for us.
So tense.
It is.
Suspenseful.
Tries to grip him so gently and not to like...
You can do it, Chucky.
Chucky. Jesse almost grips hair and the ears and tries to pull him out. And there was a few times where we were looking at it and we were thinking, okay, yes, this is where he pulls him out and then he goes back in. And then it was another time and it was like, okay, this is the moment and no. Pulling Chucky out, it was just such a special moment. I was just so proud.
Oh my goodness, got the it's dog Jason out of the Bourne. Pool.
That's kind of crazy, though. That is kind of crazy. That dog was swimming for like 34 minutes, is what they say that dog was in the water for.
I thought the dog was gonna get in and save the other dog when I heard this story that you were saying. I
doesn't, it was, doesn't like water. You didn't hear him? Doesn't
he
like
was
water.
13 years old. Their South African accent.
Yeah, it's a hard accent.
So good.
Yeah. When I was in high school,
he ate my blood diamond.
When I was in high school, I did a water treading competition with my buddy, and we did an hour and a half of treading water.
It's a lot.
We said whoever lost had to buy the other person McDonald's, and then we both just got to an hour and a half. We were like, "Well, we can keep going," and we just decided to go to leave.
So nobody bought McDonald's. You just. About your own McDonald's?
Yeah, I think so.
No, okay. So, well, it's kind of lame.
Anyway, that's a very interesting story.
It's very interesting.
But also, one thing to note about that video, you would never see a cat save another cat from drowning.
Probably not. No, maybe,
no
I mean,
doubt.
It's easier to
can
like
cats
grip.
Cats swim? I don't even know about this.
Some cats can swim. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Catfish.
I don't know that I, gosh, I don't know that I've ever seen a cat save another cat, but now I'm going to be on the lookout. You never know.
It never happens. Well, because cats...
But could cats climb out of the water by themselves, you think?
Maybe. with the nails and things.
Yeah, maybe.
Logistically, we'll have to test it out one of these days.
Dogs are just 1,000 times better than cats. That's the moral of the story.
Well, we're going to move on before you offend a bunch of people watching this stream. For Fun Friday, we wanted to do sort of a millennial / Gen Z back and forth to see who knows what, because both, well, Will, are you a millennial? I don't know that you are. Taylor's a millennial.
Will's in between.
Yeah. I'm a tweener.
He's a tweener. Taylor's a millennial. I'm Gen Z. Will's an in-betweener. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a Gen Z quiz and a millennial quiz. We're going to start with the Gen Z quiz. I'm going to let Will and Taylor try to answer first because I'm assuming I will know most of these answers. But let's see how much you guys know. Let's see. User 3477 says, guys, come on. Haven't y'all seen that one Jim Carrey scene? That's where true Nanasha Bada pressure comes from. Also, you guys did awesome this morning. User 3477, I saw you in the chat on the Dennis Prager show this morning. So thank you for watching not only that, but our show every day.
Thank you.
I appreciate
you. That, man.
Okay, or let's woman. Get into it. Question number one on the Gen Z quiz is, what did Kylie Jenner name her baby? Now, you guys can answer in the chat as well, but Taylor and Will are not allowed to look at it.
All right. I know.
You know this? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Can you show me the options again?
Yeah, there's Rainy, Stormy, Moon.
Are these
Moon.
Real names?
Yep, Rainy, Stormy, Moon, North, Angel.
Okay, wait, no, I heard of North is like Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, right?
Okay.
I don't know. How about Mooney?
There's no Mooney, there's Moon.
Oh.
You want Moon?
Moon or Rainy or, I don't know, there's so much weather going on. It's like a storm in my head.
You get one guess. What is it?
Let's go Rainy.
Okay.
Stormy.
It is indeed Stormy.
I knew really? It. I knew it.
Okay. What does SMH mean?
Okay. We used these when I was in younger. I mean, uh-huh. SMH, shaking my head.
Yeah, shaking my head.
Shaving mustache.
Shaving mustache.
Holy
Help.
Snikes.
Okay, number three. Which of these actors is not on the show The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina? There's Kieran Shipka.
What is The Chilling
Lily
Reinhardt.
I've never heard of this show or any of these
show.
People.
It's a Netflix show. Okay. Lily Reinhardt, Ross Lynch, Lachlan Watson, Jazz Sinclair.
I'm going to say the black girl's definitely on there because it's
I'm
a
gonna
modern
go
show.
I'm going to go Lily Reinhardt. Because I know the girl, Kieran Shipka. She was on Mad Men. I know she's Sabrina in the show.
Yes.
I saw a trailer.
You're correct. Mm-hmm. So you're voting Lily Reinhardt. Do you concur, Taylor?
Is not on there?
Is not on the show.
Sure. I don't know who any of those people are.
I'm also going to vote Lily Reinhardt. I recognize Ross Lynch, Kieran Shipka, and I recognize Jazz Sinclair. I know the three of them are on the show. Lily Reinhardt is famous for being on Riverdale, so I'm going to assume she's not in Sabrina. No, thank you. I don't want to save that. Okay. Which Disney show did Selena Gomez get her start on?
Wizards of Waverly Place.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm. You want to place a guess? Do you have any differing...
I can't see. Tyler keeps switching the cameras. I can't see what
they're. Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, Phil of the Future, That's So Raven, Hannah Montana.
Okay, not Raven, not Hannah Montana, because I would have known those.
Okay.
Don't think Zack and Cody. Yeah, I don't know. I guess Will seems to be confident. So
okay,
go
we got to let Taylor confident. Answer first because, right, of course, it's Wizards of Waverly Place.
I knew it.
Okay. Right. What is this mumble rapper's name?
Okay, first of all, what is a mumble rapper?
It's like somebody who doesn't really say words. They're just
first
like,
first of all, what's a rapper?
They just mumble. Like they're saying actual words, but it sounds like mumbling.
Billie Eilish sounds like that. She's like,
yeah, she's a mumble singer, I guess. Okay, so look, get a good look. Get a good look at this young white male with his face tattoos.
Okay.
And what is his name? Is it Lil Pump? Lil Xan, 21 Savage, Lil B, 21. Or Lil Tracy?
Why is everyone so little?
Where's Big Pump?
I feel like I'm Dennis Taylor? Prager on when you showed him TikToks right now. I have no idea.
You have no idea. If you have to, I know exactly who this is.
Is this? I'm gonna guess. I've heard of Lil Xan. Isn't he like he used to do Xanax or something? That's what he called
You've got to guess.
Just
you
a little.
Me.
Just a little. Not too much. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go Lil Xan because I think that's a good guess, but I really don't know.
Do you concur, Will? It is Lil Xan.
There we go. Lil Pump. Oh, get myself a brush down. Lil Pump.
Oh, my goodness.
Got it.
I'm drinking. Okay, here's a picture of Post Malone. The question is, which words does Post Malone have tattooed underneath his eyes? I'm sorry, true love, mom, dad, one love, always tired.
Always tired. That's funny.
I have no idea.
I actually don't know the answer to this one, but I have an idea.
One love is like two. Bob Marley. So
I'm going to say I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's Justin Bieber. He's sorry. I know that one.
While you guys are deliberating, Kaylee Ming says, my cat climbed a tree to rescue her brother who got stuck. Hashtag cats have feelings too.
I think that cat was going to push the other cat out. I don't think it was actually going to save.
Do you guys have an answer on this? I'm between.
I said I'm sorry.
Okay, it's either true love or it's always tired. I have a feeling it is actually always tired.
Yeah, I think it's either true love or always tired. Like everyone, no one.
It's always tired.
Dad, so
I'm pretty sure it's always tired.
It's always tired. Okay.
Well.
Okay.
Oh, we don't get to know the answers yet?
No, not till the end. Number 7. Which of these celebs has not dated Taylor Swift? Let's go down. Let it load. Harry Styles, Joe Jonas, Taylor Lautner, Jaden Smith. Calvin Harris. I know the Jane answer to Smith. This one. Taylor, do you know?
Is that because he's black?
Interesting line of questioning. Taylor, do you have a guess on this one?
No, I mean, Jaden Smith honestly seems the most unlikely, but...
Okay, yeah. Well, I can confirm it is Jaden Smith. Okay. She dated Harry Styles. She dated Joe Jonas back in the day. Dated Taylor Lautner and Calvin Harris.
I mean, guys named Taylor are pretty hot, so...
Some might say.
Not as hot as Scott's.
Some named Taylor might say. What are these is question number 8. Take a look at that photo. Will, don't answer. Let Taylor answer first. Yeah, Taylor has to answer first.
I don't know what that
is. Okay, here are your options. Flash drives, fidget spinners, Juul pods, AirPods, Tide pods.
Okay, well, I know what all those things look like.
Oh, it's a Juul pod.
Yeah, I know what all those things look like, except for Juul pods. It's hard to say it's Juul
pods. That's hilarious.
Is that fentanyl?
Is that what drugs looks like?
Question number 9. What does bougie mean? Okay. Someone that likes ugly things, a place that people shop, a difficult test, or someone who loves fancy and extravagant things?
It's the fancy one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
They said this down in Louisiana back in 2008 when I lived there.
Gotcha. So. Okay. This is a Netflix question. Number 10. What does Gen Z watch the most?
Porn.
Social media videos on platforms like YouTube and Instagram?
Yes.
Netflix? Traditional TV or DVDs?
Okay, this
DVDs
is the dumbest question. Sure.
This is a dumb question.
Obviously, social media, YouTube.
Okay.
Should have put TikTok.
Okay, this is a Vine question. Which one of these stars got their start on Vine? King Batch, Noah Schnapp, Jacob Tremblay, Millie Shapiro, Bella Thorne.
Tremblay.
King Buck.
Noah Schnapp. Oh, that's the kid from Stranger Things.
Taylor's not going to know. Taylor, do you know?
I don't know who King Buck is.
Okay.
Wait, who did or did not go on Vine?
Who started on Vine?
I'm going to say Bella Thorne because she looks the oldest.
It's definitely King Batch, but...
Oh.
Is it Batch?
It's King Batch.
It's not King Bach?
I'm pretty sure it's King Batch.
Oh.
But yeah. Noah Schnapp is from Stranger Things. Jacob Tremblay is a child actor. Millie Shapiro is from...
Millie Shapiro is a...
Tremblay.
Ben
Tremblay?
Shapiro's...
Yeah. Millie Shapiro is also a child actress. She's in Hereditary. And Bella Thorne is a Disney star.
I knew the Bella Thorne was a Disney star one.
Which Nickelodeon show did Emma Roberts star in? Let Taylor answer first.
Never seen that girl before.
You've never seen Emma Roberts before?
No.
Oh, what? Goodness.
Really? I don't recognize that person, no.
iCarly, Clarissa Explains It All, Unfabulous, Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide, or Zoe 101? Dude, obviously, I know this.
I know it's not Clarissa.
Okay.
That's the only one I recognize.
Right? Okay.
Really? That's the only one.
No, okay. I remember iCarly was a thing with the girl from School of Rock.
Right. Miranda Cosgrove.
But I don't know. I've never heard of these other ones. So I'm going to say Zoe 101.
Oh my goodness. It is Unfabulous. Good job, Will. Better Unfabulous.
Do you know these things?
Zoe 101 was Jamie Lynn Spears.
She had a show?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Next one. What are some fun Gen Z nicknames for snakes?
What?
Fangers/creepers? Scaly boy. Danger
Scaly
noodle.
Boy.
Danger noodle. Sneck. Nope rope. Or little biteys.
Oh my gosh. Is this a real... Amla, do you know the answer to this?
This is not a real thing, but I feel like I know the answer. I know the answer.
I got to go
Tyler,
scaly
you know
boy. Just cause
you're going scaly boy?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's scaly like boy. Really fun to say.
I was
going to
say scaly boy too.
You were going to say scaly boy?
Uh-huh. Nope rope.
Oh, I was definitely going danger noodle.
What?
That sounds like something that would be on TikTok. And Sneck is definitely...
Scaly boy is majority.
I'm going to vote for it, but I think I'm right. Okay. What is the Walmart Yodel Boy's real name?
Taylor Trandall.
Jacob Sartorius? Noah Centineo? Ansel Elgort.
I know who that is.
Mason Ramsey, Dylan O'Brien. Will, you can't.
I know who it is. Ansel, it's okay. Mason Ramsey. He did good a job. Country thing.
I'm pretty sure it's Dave Ramsey. Yeah.
It is Mason Ramsey. Okay, number 15. Which actress was not in the movie Twilight? Oh, I know this I know immediately. This
not Dakota, in Twilight?
Not in Twilight. Dakota Fanning, Anna Kendrick, Kristen Stewart, Chloe Grace Moretz, or Nikki Reed?
Okay, I know Kristen Stewart was in it, but I don't know if any of those other people
okay,
were.
Place your votes. Who was it not?
Not in it.
Not
I'm
in it.
I'm going to say Dakota Fanning.
Okay.
I'm going to say Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yep, you're completely right, Will. I watch Twilight at least like once a month, so. That's like a guilty pleasure of mine. Which of these YouTube stars is primarily a beauty vlogger? I want to see if either of you know this. Okay, here we go. Liza Koshy, Colleen Ballinger, Bretman Rock, Gabby Hanna, Hannah Hart. And Taylor, answer first. Primarily a beauty influencer.
I've heard of two of these people.
Okay. This is so funny.
I've heard of Gabby. I know
this
she's
is hilarious.
Not, I know she's not a beauty.
Oh, she's not?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Well.
This is hilarious.
Bretman Rock, that's a man. And if he's even considered on this, he's probably like one of those makeup boys, like James Charles.
Interesting. You know? Okay. Who are you voting for?
I'll go Bretman Rock.
Okay. Taylor?
I've cast my vote and you already told me I was wrong.
Wait,
so
what was your vote?
I said Gabby Hanna just because she was one of them that I've heard of.
Okay.
But
Colleen Ballinger is famous for being Miranda Sings. Liza Koshy was made famous with her own little comedy skits and also dated David Dobrik.
Oh, yeah.
Gabby Hanna was part of the Vlog Squad, left the Vlog Squad, and then became famous after that. And Hannah Hart is a famous lesbian YouTuber.
How do you know this stuff?
It's the Gen Z in me. These what can I say?
This is useless people.
Bretman Rock is a beauty influencer with his own makeup line.
How did I know that the one guy who's a guy in there,
his own makeup
the makeup
line.
Boy. Yeah, his own makeup line. Nice job, society. And the fact that Amala knew that, I can't believe
I know
it.
A lot what of is, things in Gen
why
Z.
Why do you know about men's makeup lines?
Bretman Rock is probably one of the most famous influencers. He's probably to par with David Dobrik. He's one of the most famous
Seriously?
Rich internet influencers to ever exist.
Is he on YouTube or TikTok?
He's
or
on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. He's famous on every single platform.
I have never heard of her.
That's amazing.
Don't know
he's
her.
Super famous.
Don't know her.
Anyways, 17. What is the name of Khloe Kardashian's clothing line? Is it Revenge Body, Red, White, and Blue, Good American, Life Thread, or Khloe? I don't know the answer to this
one. I don't
know.
Revenge Body?
I mean, Khloe mm-hmm. sounds the most plausible, but it's probably wrong.
Okay.
I'm going to say Life Thread.
Life Thread? I was going to vote Khloe. Revenge Body is actually it's a TV show that I believe, was she on? I think Khloe Kardashian was on, or the Kardashians were on Revenge Body. I don't know. But I'm going to vote. I'm voting Khloe.
All right, fine.
What are you voting for?
Sure.
Khloe? Okay.
How many questions are there?
I don't have no idea. I think there's 20. What is the term for a private Instagram only followed by close friends? Do you know the answer to this, Taylor? There's Provista, Scamgram, Finsta, Gram 2, Anagram.
Tyler's
Anonagram,
nodding.
Sorry.
Scott are like, what the
Anonagram.
Heck? Anonagram?
There's a.
I would have guessed Finsta.
Good guess.
That's what it is.
It is a Finsta.
Yeah, it is a Finsta.
Okay. What does the term basic mean? You guys know this.
I'm still waiting for you guys to add me to your Finstas.
My entire brand is a Finsta. So.
What does the term basic mean? An easy question on a quiz?
I know this.
Laugh out loud, a regular person who doesn't do anything spectacular, a great song.
Basic.
Third one.
Basic means pumpkin spice lattes and boots in the fall with your scarves for if you're a girl.
There you right? go. Sure. Yes, basic, nothing special.
Basic is Will Witt.
Number 20. Which TV show has Ariana Grande not appeared on?
Is
Victorious?
Shut up.
Victorious, Sam and Cat, Scream Queens, American Horror Story. She's appeared on all of these shows.
I've never seen any of these things. I don't know.
Do you know, Will?
I'm going to say she's appeared on all of the shows.
I'm trying to think. I know she's been in Victorious. Obviously, she's a star.
Victorious.
She's a star. She's Cat in Sam and Cat. In Scream Queens, she is one of the Chanels. And
what?
I've never seen her in American Horror Story.
What
and I've
Sam
watched
Sam and Cat.
I've heard of American Horror
Story.
Sam and
Cat was a spinoff with Sam from iCarly and Cat from Victorious. They made a spinoff show with the two of them where they meet together in their two worlds or whatever. Come on.
Wow.
So I'm going to vote American Horror Story.
I'm going to say she appeared in all of them.
What about you, Taylor? Obviously, the first three are out.
Well, you just eliminate, yeah. So I guess I'm going to say she's been on all of them, too.
Yeah.
Okay. How many questions are this? Okay. Who is
when can
this?
I get the answers?
I'm assuming there's going to be like 25, 30 questions.
You
who
said
is
there
this?
There are going to be 20 questions. Now we're at 21
questions.
That
was my guess.
We're in
at
too deep, guys. We'll skip the millennial one.
We have to keep going. We'll who do millennial this? Maybe on Monday. Who is this? Okay. You get a good look at the picture.
Barack Obama.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Charlie XCX.
It's
Mitski.
Probably a boy child actor that
oh
we
my God.
From 5 years ago who's since transitioned.
Yeah.
Is it Charlie XCX, Mitski, Grimes, Dua Lipa, or Camila Cabello? I know who it is.
Okay.
Take a look at the picture.
I know who Camila
That's
is.
That's Charlie XCX.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you're supposed to let Taylor answer first because
Grimes,
you know
Grimes
some
is,
of these.
Is Elon
Grimes
Musk's
is even weirder looking.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dua Lipa, you like her music, right?
Not really.
She's like skinny.
She's all right.
She's what?
Skinnier.
Oh. Okay. Well, anyway, go for it.
Charlie XCX. Yeah. Okay. Which Sprouse twin is on the show Riverdale?
I was like, Zach and Cody, I know this one.
Taylor, do you know the answer to this one? Is
Sprouse
it Cole
twin?
Or is it Dylan?
I didn't
what
know
mean?
They
Zach.
Were on Riverdale, and I don't know their, which one's which.
That's
so,
so funny.
I've never
I know
seen
all
Riverdale.
The answers.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, so you have a guess?
Dylan
or Cole?
That's I think the kid
Dylan.
From Big Daddy. Which one was on Big Daddy? That's what I want to know.
Cole, and it's definitely Cole. Here. Cole is on Riverdale.
Somebody get this kid a Happy Meal.
Which hat is a Gen Z trend? The sun hat, the baseball cap, the bucket hat, or the trucker hat? Taylor?
I'm going to say bucket.
Will?
I'm going to say baseball cap.
It's That's definitely cap. Bucket hat.
That's cap, Will.
Bucket. That's cap. It's definitely bucket
yes,
hat.
Yes, I just used a Gen Z term successfully.
What is a nickname for older Gen Z? Is it Zoomers, Zangers, Gen Me, or Hippies?
What?
Zoomers.
Zoomers. That's my vote.
I like it.
I've heard of Zoomers.
Okay. Which app is the most loved
TikTok.
By Gen Z? Okay, well, TikTok. We're not even going to waste time on that. Last question. How would you rate this quiz?
Too many ads.
Yeah.
Not great.
Not great.
Not great. No, I don't want...
Oh, reward
wait.
In 19 seconds.
No. 22 out of 55.
Okay.
Out of
not bad.
Wait, which ones do we get wrong?
Does it show?
Does it not show? I'm confused. Wait. Show.
Who prepared this segment?
Taylor.
Me. I just found
this
quiz.
That's the most millennial thing to prepare
that
this
is
quiz
the most.
As the judge.
And then we don't get the answers. Which one did we get wrong?
I know. I really want to know which one.
What
ones
a waste of time. I learned nothing. I became dumber.
I gave
that
most
quiz.
Of the answers. I just didn't give the answers for the three that were incorrect because now we don't know.
I learned how boomer I am.
Let's ask kids if they know what the Spanish Inquisition is, okay?
Right.
Do you know about that?
Tune in next
what
week.
What was the War of 1812? You can know who Charlie CXC is, but you don't know about the Aztecs.
It's definitely Charlie XCX.
Don't know how many hairs are on Will's mustache.
Oh, that's hilarious.
The important things in the world.
Well, we didn't get the right answers. But guys, I hope you had an enjoyment watching that and watching us do this quiz anyways. If you like our show, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. Will, I forget, when do we go live every single day?
You know, legends have said that we go live at 2:30 p.m. PST, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, every single weekday. And you can catch us here on the Prager YouTube or Facebook, going live for Will and Amla Live.
Where else can they like listen to us if they don't
Spotify,
want to look at our faces?
Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Check us out and listen to our podcast on there. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you guys so much for listening. You have a fantastic weekend, and we should see a lot of you at the rally in Santa Monica on Saturday. Where's that, Will?
Tongva Park, 1615 Ocean Avenue in Santa Monica, tomorrow at noon.
At noon. We will see you there, and if we don't see you over the weekend, we'll see you Monday. Bye, guys.
Peace.